Dearly beloved, Christ is in our midst. On this day, we stand between feasts. You see, we're wearing blue. We heard the choir sing the antiphons of the Nativity of the Mother of God and the Troparion and Kontakion of her feast as we continue to celebrate God's great work of allowing the birth of the one who would become the mother of the Son of God, which we celebrate on September the 8th. But also, we are preparing now for the next great feast, the elevation of the cross of the Lord, which is another celebration of his passion. And there are only two other great feasts that are arranged like the cross of the Lord, and that is his birth and his baptism. For on those feasts, they are so important that we celebrate the Sunday before by reading special readings from the epistles and gospels for their feast, and then celebrating the feast itself, and then the Sunday after, again, we have special scripture readings because these feasts are so important for us as Christians to understand that we don't simply pass by them without a second thought, but they are foundational for our life here on earth, which leads us to life with God in heaven. This Sunday is the Sunday before the Feast of the Cross, and we celebrate that feast on September 14th. And so we have heard special scripture readings, first from St. Paul's Epistle to the Galatians, in which he speaks of his own bearing in his body the marks of Christ, and saying that because of Christ's cross, the passing things of the world, money, fame, fortune, anything you can think of, all those things that pass away, that will not endure, because when we die, they die with us. St. Paul says he is crucified to those things so that he may live in Christ. Because the things that will live beyond our death are the virtues we acquired in this life, the love that we have shown to one another, the forgiveness we have given to each other. These are things that maybe we can't see or put on a scale, but God can. And he knows, and these are accepted into his kingdom, greater than any gold or silver. And in the reading in the Gospel of St. John, very short, only four sentences, Jesus is telling Nicodemus, one of the religious leaders of the day, one of the few religious leaders of the day who believed in Jesus. He tells him, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that all those who believe in him might be saved. One sentence with much meaning, and some history that we need to unpack for us to appreciate. For it's in the book of Numbers, again, a very short part of that book of the Old Testament, four sentences, where the Israelites are wandering in the desert and they're complaining to Moses, why can't we go back to Egypt? The food you give us is bad. We're thirsty. It's hot. We were better off as slaves. And serpents came and began to bite the people, and they began to die. And God commanded Moses, Moses, out of bronze, fashion a serpent and raise it up on a tall pole, on a post, so that everyone who looks at this bronze serpent I have commanded you to make will be healed. And so it was that the people looked at this bronze serpent that God commanded Moses to make. And by looking at this image of the very creature that was leading them to death, they had life. They were restored. Jesus is using this image of that bronze serpent on a pole. He says this is what he will be like. He will be raised up, not as a bronze image, but his very flesh will be nailed to the wood of the cross. His blood will be spilled. He will be raised up to be humiliated in order that we might be saved. He compares himself to that bronze serpent. And he says, we will be saved through him. Because we were led to death, to sin, by our own humanity. It was Adam and Eve who committed the first sin that brought sin and death into the world. So who could redeem us except one in our own likeness? And it had to be someone greater than even us as humans. Indeed, it had to be God. God who would humble himself to take flesh from one of us, that is, from the Virgin Mary, to live among us as the God-man, and to give himself up to die so that we might have life. That we look upon him who is crucified, the crucified one, as St. Paul says elsewhere, and find our salvation in him. And Jesus says, what you'll see people at football games holding up that sign, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, that all those who believe in him would not perish. And we have to understand that line a little better. It's not simply God loved the world so much, but it really is God loved the world in this way. He loved the world in this manner that he held nothing back, nothing. He gave his Son, knowing that his Son would be crucified, and he gave him as a gift to us. This is the manner in which God loves us, that he will stop at nothing to save us, that he will give his Son up to be crucified so that we can live in him. And we're the ones responsible for his crucifixion by our sins. But that next line, the last line of the gospel, I think deserves a special attention too. Not only John 3:16, but John 3:17. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might have life in him. God sent his Son not to bring judgment upon us, not to chastise us for our sins, to condemn us for the life we lead that leads to his Son being on the cross. But he sends his Son so not to condemn, but to give us life. To give us life as his free gift. Life forever with him in the kingdom of heaven. And beloved, that life begins not after our death. It begins right now. It begins the moment of our baptism. Whether we get there, that's more or less up to us. If we turn ourselves towards the crucified one, we come to receive him in his body and blood in the Eucharist. We pray to him. We read his words in Holy Scripture. These are the things that put us on the path towards God here and now, and then in its fulfillment in the life which is to come. But I don't want us to be mistaken either that what we do is so great. Our salvation is the work of God, and a very little bit our work, our cooperating with Him, our taking that tiny baby step to face Him. And in facing the crucified one, falling in love with Him, wanting to be with Him. And then God takes us in His arms and ushers us in. Ushers us into His kingdom already here on earth so that we can find the fullness of that blessedness, which we taste only a little in this life. Find its fullness in that kingdom which is yet to come. To the crucified one, our Savior Jesus Christ, and His Father and the Spirit be glory to ages of ages. Amen.